Justin Bernard, and I'm a ring announcer, octagon announcer, ring announcer, every announcer. And I got into it through Tough Enough. They provided a platform where I could grow myself as an announcer.
That's great. And so we'll jump straight into some of the student questions. One of the kids emailed me from Europe, and they want to know what inspired you to become a combat sports announcer, and what was it like when you first, you know, because we're going to have Jeff on here as well. But when Jeff and Barry with Tough Enough, they're the pioneers when it comes to amateur MMA. What was that conversation like when you approached them?
To be truthful, it was the only available role at Tough Enough, and I just wanted to be involved with combat sports in general. I fell in love with MMA and UFC in particular. Like most people, when Ultimate Fighter finale happened on live TV with Forrest and Stefan, so I was part of that era. That just wanted to be a part of it, and the local promotion here had an opening for an announcer, and with, you know, a little bit of my radio background, I went down and auditioned for it, got it, and, you know, the rest is history. And I'm very fortunate and blessed to have that opportunity.
That's great. And you saw when MMA was kind of, it was a lot not as watched, but then you saw it obviously blow up after the Forrest and Stefan fight. And I think it was 2000, was it 2005, 2006, something like that?
2005, I believe, because I moved to Vegas in 2004 and I just saw it on TV and I was just absolutely blown away. But yeah, the sport has absolutely exploded and is just continuing to grow rapidly.
One interesting thing, if you go back and watch the Ultimate Fighter finale, you see some of the fighters in the front row who had just fought, where they put on their clothes when they're done and go and sit in the front at the Cox Pavilion. Yeah, that's just fun seeing that history now is just blown up everywhere, all over the world. So one of the kids, they emailed, can you share some challenges that you faced when you were building your career as a ring announcer?
You know, just I have to say right off the bat, you know, stage fright, I think is on most people's list. You know, it's really tough getting in front of a lot of people. I wouldn't say I'm an introvert, but, you know, I'm definitely nervous when I get up there. And I think it's just a few factors, right? You kind of get nervous just in general being in front of a lot of people, but you have to deliver information. And then when you have a camera in your face and your brain tells you that we're on live TV and it could be 100 people watching, it could be 100,000 people watching, it could be 1 million people watching, all that kind of stuff goes through your head. And you just have to stay cool, calm, and collected, and just, you know, really convince yourself that you are supposed to be there.
Very good. So there's, I take it there's not a lot of imposter syndrome. You're like, I'm here, I earned it. I mean, you've been doing it for decades. So you've seen it grow, not just in our city, but you've seen it grow around the world. And not to mention, not just in the octagon, but outside the octagon, which brings us to this question. I think this came from France. One of the kids wanted to know, how do you balance the different aspects of your career inside the ring and outside the ring as it pertains to doing operations with a company like Tough Enough, which is the fastest growing MMA amateur company in the world?
You know, it's just time management and, you know, perfect example, trying to make it onto this call. You know, you just have a lot of things going on every day and you just got to make sure that you're able to move things around, you know, and to be as busy as, you know, someone like myself, it's an incredible opportunity and I'm very blessed to be busy. And, you know, with that, you want to just make sure you stay on your commitments. Some days it might get bumped a few minutes behind, but, you know, do your best to stay committed because that's your reputation, you know? And, you know, if you ever get to that point, just do your best to, you know, don't overthink things. Don't, you know, worry about things you can't control and just do your best with what you have and the time that you have. And, you know, always communicate with people and let them know, like, you know, I was on the phone with you, just letting you know, hey, look, you know, this meeting that we have with our photographer is going to run a little bit late, but just stay communicating with people, I think is key.
Absolutely. I mean, versatile and pliable and all that kind of stuff. And we can't thank you enough for connecting with us. But as one of the kids they had emailed, they had wanted to know, what are some of the trends that you see shaping the future of MMA?
I see a lot of collaboration. I see a lot of influencers being a part of, you know, most sports, but mainly combat sports. And as you see combat sports start to grow different legs within it, for instance, power slap. has entered the fray, and you know, we have Brazilian jiu-jitsu, grappling. There's a lot of things that I think collectively are elevating the combat sports landscape. And you know, I think that those things together, working with people like social media influencers, really drive up, you know, whatever brand or platform it is that is trying to, you know, make their place and put their foot down in the combat sports space. I think a lot of collaboration, as you probably saw most in Power Slap, I think is really key. And I think, you know, those are some of the trends that I think are, you know, helping elevate the sport. And Dana does a really good job in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the Naismith of MMA. So,
Yeah, totally.
the kids, and I want to know this as well. Like, when you're preparing for a fight or Slab or UFC or whatever it may be, when you're doing the ring announcing, how do you prepare for that? Because you're announcing for literally tens, if not hundreds of millions of people, you know, how do you kind of get ready for that?
For example, UFC, they do a really good job with providing all of the resources and information that we need, not only myself, but the commentators like Dan Helly, Michael Bisping, Laura Sanko. They provide us with a lot of resources. So with those resources comes a lot of changes that happen every once in a while, but you always want to over prepare, because over preparing when you get up on a stage like the UFC or Power Slap, there's a lot of other things that you're going to have to deal with, right? Which is these the nerves and the stage fright and the pressure, also the timing, a camera in your face. So over preparing allows you to walk in there, you know, even rehearsing. We do rehearsals that some people don't see until it's live on TV. But even when I'm going to, let's just say, the weigh-ins, I'm going and I'm meeting the fighters, I'm trying to get their story, I'm over preparing. I'm trying to make sure that I have absolutely everything I have, including the sponsor fulfillments, so that when I'm going on stage, I know that I have everything that I need and more in case anything happens. So I think over preparing, but also having the resources is very key. And UFC does a really good job with that.
We're going to bounce back to Tough Enough. We'll let you go in about like 10 minutes, but when it comes to Tough Enough and the growth of amateur MMA, and we'll have the website there for you guys to check it out. How have you seen that grow in the space of kind of under the umbrella of companies like the UFC and Bellator and all those others? Because I mean, Tough Enough was, I mean, I believe they started in a gymnasium in Illinois in like the 90s, and then they're the first to have female MMA fighters, and just like they're very innovative, forward-thinking company. Like, how do you see it in regards to the working in tandem with the big ones like the UFC?
I think it's critical. I do see it growing rapidly, and I think now with us being on Fight Pass, it really kind of puts a spotlight on us and recognizes us as, you know, one of the top regional promotions. So we're seeing a lot of new talent coming through Tough Enough, and then also with more dates being scheduled throughout the year with the commission, and now with us going outside of Vegas alone, I think there's, you know, and then also seeing notable names come through like Diego Brandão last Friday. And also rising talent like Eric McConnachar, Muhammad Naimov, all these guys going into the UFC on a consistent basis with us doing a lot of events. I think there's a, you know, there's a very strong showing of Tough Enough and our position in combat sports and how we are the bridge to the UFC. I think that all plays a, you know, key factor in the growth and recognition of Tough Enough.
That's solid. That's solid. And you guys definitely check that out. We'll have the website available to you. One of the kids want to know, are there any fighters or industry figures who kind of inspired you along the way?
I think everybody does. You know, everybody has a great story, but in particular, I'd have to say Khalil Roundtree. He's a close friend of mine. He's one of the first guys I met in Tough Enough, and you know, of course, we know his story going into the UFC and, you know, recently getting a title shot. One of his, you know, many stories is, you know, him growing up overweight, you know, getting into combat sports, dropping weight, getting in shape, getting his confidence back, coming out of depression, and really kind of achieving the highest you possibly can as a human being from where he was at is absolutely inspiring. And to be able to witness that, like many others in the tough enough cage and their journey, and seeing them in the bright lights on the UFC is absolutely incredible. And to still be able to connect with him, you know, today, and you know, talk to him at the fights, invite him to the fights, and have him show up. And I think it was days after he fought Pajeda, he had his nose brace on, and he was sitting front row at Tough Enough. You know, I think it's one of the most, you know, wholesome things that you're going to see in this sport.
Yeah, I love following Khalil Roundtree's career like early on. That was one of those where we see you see him at a tough enough event, like when he was competing, and you're like, this guy's definitely he's going somewhere. So do you see is there a lot of that in amateur? I mean, because you get to the professional level and you have the best against the best. Do you see there like at a tough enough level where it's like someone who could be the best versus someone who's just starting out where there could be a disparaging, or how does matchmaking play into factor when you guys are doing that at the tough enough level?
Absolutely. We have great matchmakers. Gokor and Richie put together some of the most exciting fights, and you can't help but see what you think in your head based on the performance that you're seeing of each fighter. Man, you're like, man, this girl or this guy, he's going to go into the UFC in 1 year. This guy, he's probably going to go into UFC in 3 years. She's probably going to go into UFC in a couple of weeks. And the amount of talent that we're so blessed to have and you know, be chosen as a platform for these martial artists is absolutely incredible, and we're honored to have them compete on our platform. But to see them perform, you know, there's just last week on Friday, I'll have to say, you know, you look at talent like Rosalina Ike, you know, she's a 3-0 women's strawweight fighter, and she is out there performing like a pro, you know, putting on a clinic against top talent. And you know, you look at her and you're like, man, she's going to be in the UFC real soon. So yeah, it's really an honor and to be able to witness it. And there are people that you can see, you know, I can't really name any names, but you know, you can go and watch our, you know, fights on Fight Pass. And I'm sure a lot of you could tell, you know, the way they carry themselves, the way they, you know, handle, you know, adversity. You know, there's definitely a lot of talent coming through this year that we're really excited about.
Absolutely. And you guys who are going to be listening post after this, definitely check it out on UFC Fight Pass. Check out Justin, check out Tough Enough, check out the UFC, of course. So Justin, before we let you go, I ask this of all of our guests, what advice would you have as being someone so successful in your career? I mean, you came from the very beginnings of Tough Enough, and now you're in like Dubai and all over the world and just a figure in the UFC. What kind of advice would you have for these kids as they go off into the next chapter of their lives, figuring out what kind of trail they want to go down?
You know, life is going to come at you hard, and just be ready. Be ready for everything. But more importantly, stay authentic to yourself. Stay focused on what you absolutely want to do. It may take you a year, it may take you 20 years to find out what you absolutely love. But, you know, go into discovering your passion fearlessly. Try everything. You know, you hear it all the time. You live once. And you really do. Don't wait till you're 80 years old, you know, if you're fortunate enough to be, you know, laying in your chair, reflecting on the time you wish you could be at, which is probably right now. You can write your book today. Don't hold back on anything. Don't care about what anybody that doesn't mean anything to you says. Just stay true to yourself, stay focused, and surround yourself with people that share that same vision. It may not be your vision, but just the attitude of progressing in your goals and, you know, be a good person.
I love it, man. Well, thank you so much for your time, brother. We cannot thank you enough. We appreciate you for being a world changer and an influencer, and just you're so positive. I always love talking to you, man. So I'm gonna end the meeting for all, and I will share this out when we get it produced, man. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor, and I appreciate it. I'd love to do it anytime.
Yes, sir. Later, brother. Bye.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.